or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, December the 26th, 1992. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the evening.
Well, we'll turn the rest of the evening. What have you got? 2 hours and a half? Four hours to midnight tonight.
Well, anyway, amen, amen. But we're glad for it that Wanda and Tommy got in safe this afternoon, and we thank the Lord for it. And we praise the Lord for the anointing that flows through Brother Tommy in ministry and in the prophetic word as the Lord moves. And we believe this evening that He's got something for us that will help every one of us. He always does.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Bless you, Brother Tommy.
Bless you, Glenn. Let's stand again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all pray tonight and ask God's blessing on the word. Everybody pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we submit our hearts and lives to You tonight, Lord. We thank You for this opportunity to come and share the word, Lord. Open our hearts, Lord. As Glenn said tonight, take all tiredness out of the people, Lord. Lord God, we come against all the tiredness in the name of Jesus. We command it to loose us now. Any sleep in us, Lord. The spirit of the sluggard and laziness and all those things that will attach itself to us now. We just come against it. We ask the Holy Spirit to quicken us together. And everybody said amen. Amen. May God bless you as we go into the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed the Thanksgiving camp meeting. It was really a wonderful camp meeting. But how many know that's over? This is another one. So I'm so glad to be with you. It's good to see Brother and Sister Trombley again. And we prayed a lot for you, Brother Trombley. Praise the Lord. We heard about you when that happened, and we prayed a lot for Brother Trombley. Praise the Lord. How many know we need to pray one for another?
Amen.
That we might be healed. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Turn to Luke chapter 5, please. Luke chapter 5, and look at a scripture. I'm not going to really preach much from this particular scripture, but I want to read it anyway. In Luke chapter 5, verse 36. And He spake also a parable to them, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. I want you to notice that. The new does not agree with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles or wineskins, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. Now, if you'll notice in those scriptures, it said there was a rent made. There was no agreement. There was the bottles that was broken into. And the bottles perished. No man desired the new. The old is better. How many know there are doctrines and teachings and traditions and things in us that we need to get rid of? And yet we want to hold on to the old many times when God's saying, let loose of the old and take hold of the new. There is an old order and there is a new order. And I don't know about you, but I'm alarmed of not only what's happening in the nation, but what's happening in the church. I'm alarmed of what I hear ministered and preached and taught in the church. There's a lot of doctrines and things coming out that I'm alarmed about. Hallelujah. But I thank God that I'm living in 1992. How about you? And I believe that Jesus still reigns and is supreme. Amen? And is the preeminent one in the land. Praise God. Now, I want to go to the book of Samuel. I want to touch a few things here. We know in the book of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, we know there was an old order, there was a new order, there was an old priesthood, and there was a new priesthood. There was an old kingship, and there was a new kingship. God's people could not wait on the king that David had waiting in the wings and prepared, and they wanted their own king. And how many know they got their king? We get exactly sometimes what we don't really want. We think we do, but isn't that right? When it's over, we don't really want what we think we want. Now, let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we want to look at verse 3, chapter 1 of verse 3, and here is a woman whose name is Hannah. Her husband also has another wife named Peninnah. She has all the children. She had everything going for her in the natural, but Hannah had no child. And in verse 3, they come up to worship the Lord, and as they come up to worship the Lord, there were the two sons of Eli. Eli is the old priest, the old order. He had two sons named Hophni and Phinehas, which actually means a fist fighter and the serpent's mouth. And the only thing the old order can produce is a fist fighter, come on, and a serpent's mouth. Amen. I mean, know that we've all done some of that. Come on now, amen? We've all fought a little bit. We've all said things we shouldn't say. In fact, too much. But notice what he says here. It says, as they come up to worship the Lord, verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, this is her husband, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, God had shut up her womb. God caused Hannah to be barren. Now, there are seven women I'm thinking about in the scriptures that's barren. Hannah, Rachel, Rebecca, Sarah, Samson's mother, which we don't know her name, Elizabeth, and the church. The church has been barren. The church has brought forth Ishmael. How many know it's time for God to bring forth an Isaac in his people? Isn't that right? And God's going to bring forth an Isaac. God's going to bring forth a man-child. God's going to bring forth his overcomers in this hour, I believe. But God's going to do it. Hallelujah. And so God shut up her womb. God has shut up a lot of wombs of churches. Amen? I mean, when David's wife saw him dancing before the Lord, she never had a child from that day forward. And that's probably a picture of some churches whose wombs has been shut up by God. They're no longer producing and bringing forth fruit unto God Almighty. Hallelujah. I want to be fruitful in the Lord, don't you? I want to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, Jesus talked about in John 15. Hallelujah. And I believe we're living in an important time. As Glenn said, I believe things are going to change and are changing and will change. But we must not be alarmed at what changes are coming, because they're coming. But how many know if we stay with the Lord and stay true to God, He'll watch over us, He'll meet our needs, and He'll be right there with us. How many believe that? Amen. Now in verse 6, her adversary also provoked your sore. You know, sometimes God uses other people to get to us, doesn't He? How many has ever had that happen besides me? Maybe some on your church, maybe some on your family, on your job. But He'll use somebody to provoke you and to provoke me. Well, Hannah was provoked by this other lady that had all the children, made her fret, and God had shut up her womb, it says again, verse 7. And notice, as she did so year by year, she provoked her continually, year after year, because she had no children. Now look in verse 9. Look in verse 9, we see here this old order, Eli, he's the priest, and you see two positions with him. He's either sitting or lying down most of the time. And it says here in verse 9 that he sat up on a seat. I mean, on 2 Thessalonians 2, there's a son of perdition sitting in the temple. I mean, over the temple of God today. And he's sitting right in the temple of God. And here is an old order sitting upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And Hannah's in bitterness. She's praying to God. She's making a vow to God in verse 11. And she tells God, if you'll give me that man-child, no razor will ever come upon his head. And she vowed this to God. Now, when I was in Iceland over there one night, as I was laying on my bed, the Lord brought Samuel to me, and he said five things to me at that time, and I think two things later. But he said to me, Samuel was a priest. And how many know God's raising up a kingdom of priests? And then the Lord said to me, he was a judge. And the Bible said these sons are going to come up on Mount Zion to judge the house, come on, of Esau. And then the Lord said he's a prophet. And God's going to raise up true prophets and is raising up true prophets in the land. and around the world. Amen? How many know we've heard a lot of money prophets? Come on. And false prophets. But God's going to raise up the truth that are hated and despised and rejected by the masses and by the crowd. Come on, somebody say amen. And number four, God said to me, he's an intercessor. And Ezekiel 9 tells us, those who intercede, who cry against the abomination that's committed in the house of God are going to be sealed by God's seal. And then he said he's a man-child. And we know in Revelation chapter 12, God's raising up a man-child. Amen? Which are the overcomers at the end of this age. God's sons, God's overcomers. Hallelujah. And then he told me, he said, "There, he's the firstborn. He was the firstborn of Hannah." I mean, no, Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. We know that. And yet God is raising up firstborn ones according to Hebrews chapter 12. There is a portion of the firstborn in all of us, I believe, tonight. Can you say amen? And then he was first fruits. And Revelation 14 says God has 144,000 which are the first fruits unto God. Praise God, and to the Lamb. Hallelujah. So I believe God's raising up a new order. He's raising up a Samuel people. Amen? There's a Samuel anointing, which is Christ. It's Christ's anointing, of course, in a people that's coming forth. So she said, "Lord, if you'll give me this man-child, no razor will ever come upon his head." Hallelujah. Then look down to verse... we'll look down here just a minute, verse 13. Notice the old order could not recognize something. The old order could not recognize intercessory prayer because she's pouring out her heart before God. And Eli's thinking this woman's drunk on wine. He could not recognize a true intercessor. How many know that prayer is needed back in the church? Come on. Prayer is needed back in our life. Amen? I believe this. Last week, God, I believe, was dealing with my heart along these lines. We need intercessors. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the Lord said to me, and I prophesied this, he's going to take many home in this hour because of their disobedience. And in fact, I had a friend just die a few days ago, died in his sleep with a heart attack. And when I heard about it, the Lord quickened that word to me. But God only knows all that goes with that. But anyway, I believe that many are going to be taken out because of disobedience. But I don't want to be taken out. I want to obey the will of God. How about you? Amen? I want to be in the center of God's will. And I want to walk humbly before the Lord. And I want to hear his voice anew and afresh. I want to have a fresh word for this hour. How about you? Not just only for myself, but for others. I'm concerned for others. That we reach out to others. Hallelujah. With the word of the Lord. And so, Eli could not recognize true intercession. And notice in verse 16, Hannah said to him, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. You see, he was mistaking this woman as an evil woman. But she said, don't do that. So the old order cannot recognize some things they're supposed to see. Now, look down in this chapter. Look down in verse 22. We know that Hannah, she's going to come up and bring the child, and he's going to be weaned. Actually, verse 24. She weaned him. In verse 24, how many believe that God's telling all of us to grow up? You know, to be a priest in the Old Testament, because Eli's an old priest order, but God's raising up a new one, which is Samuel, a kingdom of priests. But to be a priest in the Old Testament took three things. How many know there had to be birth? You had to be born in the right family. Come on. You could not have a physical blemish or deformity. And number three, you had to be mature or 30 years of age. Now, all the priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. Come on, help me down. Don't shut me down. It's true. Aaron had, we know, started with his four sons. They were priests. There was five of them. How many know God's got a fivefold minister coming forth in this hour? Now, in the Levitical priesthood, you see a process taking place and being worked in a people. But how many know we're coming, Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. Notice the order. So there was an order. God's bringing us to an order. How many know he's bringing us to a new order? How many believe there's a man with a ministry in the throne? His name is Jesus. And Jesus is raising up a man, a corporate man, come on, with a ministry, and he's going to take that man to the throne. How many believe that? Hallelujah. Now, so we see here, this one's being weaned. This one is being weaned, this young one, in verse 28 says also, notice, he's lived to the Lord as long as he liveth. And he worshiped the Lord there. So Samuel learned to worship the Lord in the temple. How many believe God's got a true worshiper coming forth?
Amen.
Now look in Revelation 11, just one scripture. One scripture. There's too much to get in here, and I won't do that tonight. But Revelation 11 and verse 1, it says, there was given me, John said, a reed, that's a golden reed mentioned later, like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Now this is the beginning of the tribulation, and there is a people that's being measured. I mean, old Ephesians talks about coming up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And there's a people that's worshiping the Lord. And in verse 1, somebody's measured. Verse 2, somebody is not measured, which is the outer court. Now, the outer court's going to be trampled down by judgment, by calamity, by death, whatever. I mean, know that God's telling all of us we've got to get higher in God.
Amen.
We've got to get up higher than where we are. And I can see the outer court just being mowed down because that's where the masses are. And God's speaking to all of us, I believe it, not to be satisfied where we are. How many satisfied where you are? No, well, good. Praise the Lord. We've got to go higher. Now, so we see he become a worshiper back here in Samuel. This young boy that's growing up to be this man-child. Now look in chapter 2. Look in chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Yes, ma'am. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we see that he has three sons here again. And notice they did not know the Lord. And it said in verse 13 that the priest's custom, now this is the old order, I want you to think about this. Well, with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. Now notice it's a flesh hook. And it's got three teeth. I mean, oh, there's a flesh hook today. It's after you and after me. Come on, it's after your spirit, your soul, and your body. And he struck it in the pan. Now, notice, and they took for themselves. They're takers. This old order is are takers and grabbers. Come on. And in verse 16, it said, if any man said to him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently and then take as much as thy soul desire, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. I mean, oh, God's against that. The old order is a taker, and they'll take it by force. I want to tell you six things right here. Number one, this is concerning the ministry. Number one, how many know that we must follow those who do not reach for authority, but those who reach for responsibility and out of responsibility will flow authority. Number two, we must follow those who lead the sheep and not drive the sheep. Number three, we must follow those who feed the sheep and not fleece the flock. Number four, we must follow those who do not rule with force and cruelty. And number five, we must follow those who gather the sheep and not scatter the flock. And number six, we must follow those who do not lay claim to the sheep as their own, opposed to those who do. How many know we're His sheep? We're His disciples. Come on. We're His people. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. And so they would take by force here. And that's a picture and a mark, brethren, of the old order. Now look in chapter 2, verse 19. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of old order in all of us. God wants to help us to get rid of some of the old order. We got to see it first. Verse 19, moreover, his mother, this is Samuel's mother, made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came out with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So every year she brought a little coat. Now, what does that mean? That simply means the man child is growing. How many believe God's got a man child that's growing and maturing? Regardless of what we hear, what we see, God has a remnant coming forth. God has a remnant worldwide from every nation coming forth that He's going to use in this hour. He's got an army, He's got a people picked out and chosen that's growing and maturing. Now, we're not there. Don't fool yourself and think you're there fully, because we're not there fully. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know we got a long way to go? Some of us. If we'll be honest. Amen? But there's a people arising. There's a people growing and maturing in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "And the Lord visited Hannah." Of course, she conceives and bear again sons and daughters. "And the child Samuel," notice, "grew before the Lord." He's growing up before the Lord. And oh, hallelujah. How many know it's time to grow up in the Lord again? Each one of us. Before the Lord and to the Lord. Thank God. Now, chapter 2, verse 26. 2:26. "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." God can give us favor. God can give us the grace and the favor that we need in His eyesight and before man. I believe that. Now look in chapter 3. Look in chapter 3. We're just going kind of hurriedly here tonight, but that's all right. Chapter 3, verse 1. Notice it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision." So something was closed up. There was closed shop. No open vision. And notice it says here in this verse, it was precious in those days, that which was even rarely given, which of course means costly, rarely given. No widely spread vision. I mean, without a vision, the people what? Without a prophetic vision, the people are made naked, simply. Now look in verse 2. Look in verse, well, let me set this way. Well, look at verse 2. Well, look at verse 1 again. It said there was no open vision. The word of the Lord was precious in those days as Samuel ministered before the Lord. So in a day of no vision, God came to Samuel to bring an entire nation back to God. I tell you, God's so merciful. God's so merciful. You know, it says in Judges, there's a generation that did not know the Lord. Can I say, brethren, there's a generation in America that doesn't know God, doesn't know Jesus. But how many know God is going to use us and others across the land to win others to Jesus as we're obedient to the Lord? Now look at verse 2. Notice when God calls Samuel, "It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place." Notice he's laying down. "His eyes began to wax dim." Not only... that's physical, of course. He couldn't see very well. But how many know the order can't see spiritually either? Huh? But how many know we can't allow pride to come in, because there was a time we didn't see too much either? Come on. We still got to get our eyes open. Isn't that right? We still got to see some things we haven't seen. And so it says he laid down in his place. A lot of Christians are laying down in their place. They're satisfied. I go to a lot of sonship groups, a few deliverance camps, and I see people satisfied. How many know we must never get satisfied? We must never be satisfied, brother. Hallelujah. Never. "And his eyes began to wax dim, and he could not see." Notice that. "And here the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep, and the Lord called Samuel." Right at the time of the lamp going out, God called this prophet. God called Samuel. Five times he calls him in this chapter. Five is the number of grace. Five is the number of the ministry. Hallelujah. And God is calling Samuel. And of course, we know he's going to make him a prophet of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, look in chapter 3 here with me. And we'll see that he calls him in verse 4. He calls him in verse 6 and verse 7. Notice, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time." And then if you look down to verse 10, he says, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Hallelujah. So he had an attitude, didn't he? He had an attitude. "Lord, you speak. I will listen." And he did. He heard. After, of course, Eli had told him what to do here. And the first thing God told Samuel was that he was going to judge the old order. And I tell you, brethren, God's going to judge the old order in this hour. I don't care what name tags on it. God's going to judge the old order. God's going to bring religious Babylon down. God's going to bring political Babylon down. God's going to bring the monetary system down. God's going to judge Babylon severely. How many know in 1 hour she's going to fall? Come on, can you say amen? 1 hour, God is going to judge Babylon severely. You can look at Babylon many ways, amen? But thank God this is a new day. There is a new people arising, hallelujah, with a new diet. There's a new order arising in the land. And I do believe that God is doing and going to do a mighty, mighty work. Praise the Lord. Now, look in chapter 4. Look in chapter 4. We know 11 through 14 of chapter 3, God is talking about judging the house of Eli. Then in chapter 4, verse 15, it says here, verse 15, now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, and he could not see. And the man said to Eli, I am he that came out of the army. I fled today out of the army. And he said, where is there, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. The presence of God was taken. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy. He had judged Israel 40 years. So when God judged severely and quickly, didn't he? His two sons died, and Eli also died. Then his daughter-in-law that was pregnant, going to have a child, we also read here how she had she travailed in verse 19, had pains come upon her, and she gave birth to a son, and his name was called Ichabod, which means the glory is departed from Israel. Hallelujah. How many want to see the glory? But how many know there's a price to see the glory? Come on, amen? Without suffering, there is no glory. Now, I do believe there's a people that will be in the fire, put through the fire. But I believe it more than that. I don't want to just be next to the fire or just in the fire. I want to become the fire. How about you? Want to become the fire. But I know for that to happen, you're going to go through some things. Amen? You're going to go through some things. You're going to be tested. Praise the Lord. But God will be with you in your test. You don't have to fear your test. You don't have to fear your tribulation, your trouble. God will be with you. Praise the Lord. And I've been studying lately on suffering just a little bit. I used to teach a lot on it. I mean, no, if you're going to teach suffering, you better give some people hope, though. Come on, you can preach tribulation. You're black and blue in the face. You got to give some people hope. How many believe that? You just hear tribulation, 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 no hope. It's not going to help anybody. I mean, you look around and see tribulation everywhere. But you got to have some hope. But I tell you what you need in tribulation, in suffering, in tribulation or trials, whatever you want to call it. You need consolation. You need the comfort of God in your life. I mean, when you begin to walk through, I walked through depression 15 years. I suffered depression 15 years. And you still, at times, you battle it, but not like it was. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. But I tell you what, there's consolation that came many times that I know if I didn't make it. I always believed I would, but He always seen me through those depressing times. And you know, some people want you to come out of overnight. Well, I like to, but you just can't always. How many know you go on some trials, you just don't come out overnight? But there was a lot of deliverance in my life and a lot of repentance and many other things, which I thank God for Lake Hamilton, because I got a lot of deliverance here, a lot of deliverance other places, and I respect deliverance because it helped me very much. Praise God. And I honor the Lord for that. So we need consolation in trouble. Number two, how many know without that tribulation, tribulation, there'll be no glory. That's number two. Number three, if you suffer with Him, you'll what? You'll reign with Him. Anybody want to reign? You want to be that kingdom of priests? You'll suffer with Him. Now, our suffering sometimes in God's is two different things. How many know, just take one aspect of suffering. You know, it said he suffered being tempted in all points. Right? As you and I. Temptation is a suffering. There's many kinds of suffering we could talk about tonight. But if you suffer with Him, you will reign with Him. How many know the Bible said you'll suffer for a while? I don't believe it's just every day, do you? Come on now. How many know there's some joy in this walk? If we lose that joy, we've lost it all, haven't we? Praise God. And also, I believe that the Bible said if we suffer, how many know it says we cease from sin in the flesh? You ever read that? St. Peter. Hallelujah. I don't know if I've ever got there yet, but I'm on the way. And something else, when you get in tribulation, how many know will get you to praying? God knows how to get you to praying, doesn't he? You better believe it. Hallelujah. Revelation said he'll give you a crown of life if you're in those sufferings, if the devil puts you in prison house 10 days. How many know 10 days, maybe 10 years for some people? Come on now. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us in that suffering we must glorify the Lord. Amen? We must make sure that the Lord is glorified. Now, look in chapter 4 here. Did I finish that? Yes. In verse 21, Ichabod, the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken. Possibly that's written over many homes, many churches, many people. God only knows that. Maybe in some nation. Amen. How many know America's in for some trials? We're already there, but we're going to see a lot more hardship coming. I believe this is my opinion. I'm not trying to preach it, but I believe America's going to fall. I believe it's going to fall in many different ways. But in the end, I believe God's going to have a remnant, though, that's going to stand. I believe we're going to see a lot of people fall in America, much of America. But I believe there's going to be a remnant that's going to stand. They'll turn back to God, and to God that will stand. Hallelujah. And I want to see a people standing in the Lord. Amen? Now, let me give you some things about the order. This is concerning Saul. Look in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 8. Then I want to talk about the new order a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 8. I want to show you here. We know God's people asked for a king to judge them, and it was given to them. In verse 11 it said, and he said, this is Samuel telling God's people what's going to happen. This will be the man of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself and for his chariots. Verse 12, he will appoint him captains. I want you to notice that. Verse 13, he'll take your daughters. Verse 14, he'll take your fields. Verse 15, he'll take the tenth of your seed. Verse 16, he'll take your men servants and maid servants. Verse 17, he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servant. Again, the old order was a taker. Amen? That's one of the characteristics. Now look in chapter 9, verse 2. We know here Saul. He's a Benjamin, which means the son of the right hand. But notice the last part of it. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So you could say human wisdom, human strength in the old order. Now we know he was called by God, but I won't go into that. He was demanded by man in chapter 9. He was warned by God in chapter 12. Look in chapter 13, verse 3. Chapter 13, verse 3. Now, we see that his son Jonathan, let's go back to Acts verse 2. Saul chose 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel. 1,000 were with Jonathan. Now, no, I want you to see 2,000 with Saul, 1,000 with Jonathan. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul did something. Now, here's the award. They want the glory. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard, saying that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines. Well, Jonathan did it. But yet he's taking the credit. Come on. He's taking the honor. He's taking the glory. Amen. So that's the order. Now look in chapter 13, verse 8. Well, actually, verse 12. He's seeing the people scattered in verse 8. He's a people pleaser. And in verse 12, he could not wait till the prophet came. He said, I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. He forced himself into a ministry God had not called him to. And Samuel came and, of course, told him he'd done foolishly. And he said in verse 13, for now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. So he pushed himself into a ministry God had not called him to. I mean, know that others did that in the Bible and died, like Uzziah.
Amen? You have Absalom. You have others that would push themselves into... I mean, it was dangerous to call yourself a prophet or an apostle or something and God hadn't called you to it. Come on, amen? Whatever is dangerous. We must be what God's called us to be, and that's it. Don't try to be something else. Don't try to put on airs and be somebody else. Amen. I believe we all agree to that. Praise the Lord. Now, notice, he did not wait for God. And then we notice in chapter... I'm not going to read this. Chapter 13, verse 19 through 23. He was subject to the enemy. They didn't. None of them had weapons of war except him and Jonathan. And there's a lot of things we could say. Look in chapter 14 now. Look in chapter 14. And look at verse 24. Here he curses his people and tells them not to eat any food. The order cursed the people. And verse 26, and when the people were come to the wood, behold, the honey dropped. Now, the honey represents several things. It represents the Word of God, and it represents resurrection life. Probably other things, too. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. I want you to notice, they fear that old order. They fear the command of the old order. Verse 27, but Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people. Of course, he takes his rod, he dips it in the honeycomb. He puts the hand to his mouth, and his eyes was enlightened, or actually brightened, another translation says. Hallelujah. I mean, no, that's, actually you could quote out of Ephesians with that scripture. Our eyes being enlightened, isn't that right? And so it just took a little honey, and his eyes were enlightened or brightened. Hallelujah. Don't take much, it just takes a little bit. Yes. Revelation from the Word of God, from truth, to open your eyes and to open my eyes. Amen? Now notice here. It says here the people were cursed if any man would eat this food. Now listen to what Jonathan said. He got his eyes open, but even though he got his eyes open, how many know he would not break with the house of Saul? He would not leave the old order. How many know there are people in the old order tonight that will not leave it? God says, come out of her, my people. Whatever order it may be, God said, come out of her. God's telling people to come out. God is warning people to get out of certain groups and situations. Amen? To obey the Spirit of God. Now, that's not for our job to go in always to tell people to come out. God will do that. Now, He may use us. He may use us, and all right, but God will speak to people if they'll hear Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, listen to what He says. Then said Jonathan, my father, who's his father? The old order, has troubled the land. See, I pray you how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. He got his eyes open and he saw through the old order to a certain degree. Now look at verse 30. Latter part of verse 30. There he said it. No, let me go back and read. How much more if happy the people had eaten freely till they had the spoil of their enemies, which they found. For had there not been there had not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines. Otherwise, there had been a greater slaughter of the enemy if God's people could have eaten that honey. So he saw two things. He saw through the old order, and he saw the enemy could have been slaughtered much more if God's people could have partaken. Now, I want to tell you, the old order is death. They'll put a curse on you, brother. Hear me now. They don't want you to see through the old order. And they don't want to see who you, they don't want you to see who your real enemy is. It's not flesh and blood. We know that. But you have an enemy tonight. Amen? And God wants to open your eyes and my eyes. Hallelujah. Thank God. How many know that just because we've come out, though, don't mean there's not things in us? How many know we can get independent? Huh? We can get prideful, can't we? Amen. How many know David wept over Saul? He wept over this old order. He wept over Jonathan. He wept over those two. Amen. But thank God, he got my attention in 1966. And he came out of, I feel, a law of the old order, but he's still taking it out of me. Thank God. Now, how many know the old order is jealous of the new order? And he wants to kill the new order. He wants to nail him to a wall. What happened to Saul? He got nailed, come on, to a wall. I wrote down something here. I want to share it with you. Let me tell you what Saul lost. It's the old order. He lost his head. was over in Czechoslovakia, and the Lord began to give me some of these things. He lost his head. He lost his kingdom. He lost his throne. He lost his sons. He lost his armor. He lost the battle. He lost his life. He lost his armor bearer. He lost his anointing. He lost his crown and bracelet. He lost. If you stay in the old order, you're going to lose. Amen? You're going to lose if you stay in the old order, whatever it may be. How many believe that? He spared the flesh. He was troubled by an evil spirit. War was a way of life with that old order. He attempted murder. Look in chapter 20. Somebody's missing. Somebody's missing at the table. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. Well, if somebody threw a javelin at you, I imagine your place would be empty too. Come on. Huh? Amen. Look in chapter 22, verse 7. A lot of self-pity in the old order. A lot of self-pity in all of us. Chapter 22, 7. Well, look at verse 8, actually. That all of you have conspired against me, Saul said. There is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse. There is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie and so forth. He's full of self-pity. The old order is full of self-pity. The old order slew the priesthood in chapter 22. Chapter 23, he neglected the enemy. Chapter 24, he feigned repentance. Chapter 28, how many know he consulted with a medium? There's a lot of the occult in the church, isn't there? Better believe it. A lot of prophetic word. Come on, it's divination. Remember last time we were here, I brought a message on why the prophetic word is not fulfilled in our lives. I think I gave 11 or 12 things. And the old order committed suicide. Now let's see what was put over his grave. Look in 1 Chronicles 10. Time to bury the old order, isn't it? Yes, ma'am. 1 Chronicles 10, I think it's around verse 13. 1 Chronicles 10, 13. And notice it said, so Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. God brought the old order down. I said this last time I was here, I want to say it again. We have seen the superstars. We've seen the shooting stars. We're seeing the fallen stars, but it's time to see the morning star.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many want to see the morning star?
Hallelujah.
He said, I am the bride and the morning star. And to the one that will overcome, he said, I'll give you the power over our authority over the nation. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. That's who he talked to there in the book of Revelation. Now let's go to the new order. Thank you, Lord. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 2. Let's look at a few things about this new order. 2 Samuel chapter 2. I want to look at verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. You'll notice the new order is inquiring of the Lord. Very few times you ever read where Saul made an altar and really prayed and worshiped God. In fact, I don't remember any. One time he built an altar, but now whether he actually prayed or not, the Bible doesn't say. How many know Abraham was a man with the altar? Four times Abraham built an altar to God. And one time he went back to the one that was built. But four times he built an altar. How many know four is the number of the world? Creation. And we know that to be a priest, I said a while ago, you had to be born into a right family, no blemish. And there had to be maturity. But we know to be a priest, there had to be an altar and what else? A sacrifice. And there were many burnt offerings given, we know, in the Old Testament. And we know that a burnt offering was all consumed except one thing, the skin. And the skin was given to the priest. I mean, God took coats of skin. It says skins in the Old Testament, but in the Hebrew, I believe it's singular. It was coats of skin, okay? Hallelujah. How many know he is the priest? Come on now. We know he had an altar, and we know there was a sacrifice. Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, Abraham was a man of the altar. The brazen altar, the dimensions, was 5 by 5 by 3. Now, if you would multiply 5 by 5 by 3, what you got? 75. God called Abraham at 75. He walked 100 years and died at 175. He was a man with the altar. Hallelujah. One of the altars we know he built was in there in Bethel, which is the house of God. How many know he turned his back on Ai, which is a heap of ruins? How many can look back and see a heap of ruins besides me? Thank God for that. He turned his back on the heap of ruins and faced Bethel. He turned his back to the east and faced west. I mean, on the tabernacle, you go from east to west. Jesus said the lightning will flash from east to west at his coming. Thank you, Lord. So he's raising up a new order. He's raising up a kingdom of priests. How many know we better have an altar? Huh? How many know you're the sacrifice now? He paid the supreme sacrifice. But he wants your whole man. Come on, your spirit, your soul, and your body. Isn't that right? Major three basic sacrifices in the Bible. You're giving your body to God, giving your time, or your talents, your offerings to God, and your praises to God. God wants your time, your talent, your treasure. I was blessed by Glenn's teaching this afternoon. I got a lot out of that, Glenn, on those curses. And I believe people are cursed when they don't give to God correctly and right. In tithes and offerings. Amen? Amen. Now, notice here, we want to look at something in here. We saw that in chapter 2, David inquires of the Lord. Now look in chapter 5. We're talking about a new order. Chapter 5, verse 3. It says here that King David made a league with him in Hebron before the Lord. Now notice first of all, we saw in that chapter 2, verse 1, that inquired of the Lord. Now there is a league made before the Lord. Now then look in chapter 6, verse 14. 6:14, I believe it is. And it said, and David danced before the Lord. Come on. With all his might. Then in 7:18, I believe it is. 7:18? No, 6:21. I'll get it right in a minute. 6:21. And David said to Michael, it was before the Lord. This new order is staying before the Lord. How many see that? Then look in chapter 7, verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord. Chapter 22, verse 1. Chapter 22 and verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord. And then in chapter 24, verse 17, it said, and David spake unto the Lord. This new order had a relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, his name means beloved. Beloved. And I want to give you just a few characteristics of David. Number one, he is the eighth son. Eight is the number of resurrection, life, and new beginnings. Hallelujah. God is raising up a new one. Amen? With resurrection power in his bones. Number two, David loves the sheep. He's not going to fleece the sheep. He loves the sheep because that was natural sheep. But he loved the sheep. I mean, we've got to be a lover of sheep. Lover of God's people. Number three, he was anointed in the midst of his brethren. He was actually anointed three times. He was anointed three times. And the third time he was anointed, which is, well, let me say it this way. There's anointing of promise. There's anointing of praise. And there's anointing of power. He was anointed three times. He was 30 when he became, when he was anointed the third time. Picture of Jesus. He'd become captain over God's people. Jesus is our captain. A lot of other things we could talk about there. David is a picture and type, of course, of Jesus. Now look in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. Let's look at something about this new order. 1 Samuel 16. And we want to look at verse 8. 16, verse 18. And it says, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning. Now notice that word cunning, that means skillfully, in playing. and a mighty valiant man. He is a man of war, and he's prudent, which means eloquent, intelligent. He perceives, he understands, he's wise in matters, and he's comely or beautiful or attractive person, and the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. That order God's raising up, how many know he's going to be with that people? Oh, yes. We may not be anything to look at in the natural, but I tell you, if the Lord is with you, that means everything. Amen? He was submissive and wise, chapter 18, verse 5. Chapter 18, verse 5. Notice this. Some people are not submissive to anything or anybody. David went out with us wherever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. He was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So he was wise and he behaved himself wisely. Amen. Praise God. And he was accepted. He was victorious in battle. I can give you scriptures on all this. He was persecuted. The enemy wanted to kill the new order. He was humble and trusting. Chapter 18, verse 18. Look at verse 18 there. And David said to Saul, "Who am I and what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king?" Hallelujah. He lived in the secret place. That's another message. He fled for refuge for his covering, to his covering. Now, chapter 19, verse 18. Look in chapter 23. Let's see where he lived. Well, 22:1, first of all. 22:1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, in debt, discontented, gathered themselves unto him. He became captain over them. How many has been in distress lately? How many has been in debt? How many is discontented with where you are? Hallelujah. Well, that's the way they were. And they gathered around David. David became their captain. Hallelujah. And I tell you, brethren, these who actually were hated and rejected, who followed David, reigned with David when David took the throne. I tell you, there's going to be a people reign with Jesus. Amen? And I tell you, that people is hated, rejected, and despised. You're talking about an underground church. How many know there's one right here in America? It's been that way for years. There's 100, despised people that lives right here in this country. Thank God. Their names are not on the marquees. They're not on the big blasting over the televisions and radios. But they're behind the scenes. God's bringing them forth. God's going to bring forth David. God's going to bring forth his overcomers. His rejected ones. Amen. His hated ones. The old order hates them. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, he lived in the wilderness. Look in chapter 23:15 as well. 23:15. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And that place there means, that Ziph means it's a place of flowing. How many know there's anointing here? Hallelujah. He had an anointing upon his life. In fact, from that time that anointing came upon David, Saul hated him. He was jealous of that anointing. You know the old order, we accept deliverance in a measure and even worship in a measure. We know when David played before Saul, the evil spirit left him. Remember that? The evil spirit left him. But how many know when David took the 5 stones out of the brook, the smooth stones, come on, and killed that giant, Saul hated him. How many of those stones can speak of faith? It can speak of the fivefold ministry. When you bring the fivefold ministry into the old order, many times they don't like it. But I believe God has apostles, He has prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists that He's raising up. I believe He's going to raise some new ones up.
Amen.
And thank God He's refiring the old ones. Some of them. Hallelujah, hopefully. Now, look in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Now, we know Saul committed suicide. He fell upon his own sword. His armor bearer wouldn't kill him. So he falls upon his sword and the armor bearer kills himself as well. But look in verse 19 of chapter 1. 2 Samuel 1, verse 19. He said the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. Notice, high places. How are the mighty fallen? Then in verse 23, notice verse 23, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. And that was Jonathan's problem. He would not separate from the old order, and he died with the old order. Verse 25, but he didn't recognize something. He recognized David would be king next, didn't he? Verse 25, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Now notice, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? One thing to get in battle, but you don't want to fall. O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. Verse 27, how are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? And I tell you, brethren, not only have we seen some fallen, but we're going to see many more fallen. And we pray that we'll not fall. How many want to stay true to God? Amen. We don't want to fall. We don't want to be the next casualty. Amen. God told me years ago, I walked in this church. He spoke to me. I heard him. This is years ago. And he said, the stars are fallen. That's what he spoke to me. The stars are fallen. And I tell you, in Revelation, there's a star fallen. Chapter 8. Remember that scripture? The tail of the dragon cast stars down. God gave me a message last year about the tail, and I preached it wherever I went just about. The stars are falling. It's not something happened way back there. It's something happening now. 1992. The tail of the dragon. You know what the tail of the dragon is? Isaiah tells it. Tells us that it is the prophets who lie. It is lying prophets. That's one aspect of it that we dealt with. So we see a lot of things here. Now notice here in 2 Samuel chapter, I'm just about through. 2 Samuel 5. We've shared a lot of scripture here. 2 Samuel chapter 5. We see something in this new order here. There's some warfare involved, of course. And look in verse 3. David's anointed king. This is the third anointing. Verse 4. David is 30 years of old, same age as Jesus when he began his ministry. He reigns 40 years. Let me know Jesus was tested 40 days. Verse 5, in Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. Then in verse 6, the king and his men went to Jerusalem to the Jebusites. And I remember I taught the seven Canaanite nations here one night in a service. I remember that. And when I said of those sevenites, I had never went through such trials in my life, I don't believe, when I studied those seven nations. I tell you, there's a lot of warfare when you go in those things. God opens your eyes and shows you a lot of things. But anyway, it says here that the king and his men went to Jerusalem to the Jebusites. And the latter part of verse 6, notice they're telling David something. Thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. Now, there are other people that could not kick these giants off the land, these ites off the land, but David moved right in there and took the city of David, the stronghold of Zion. And God has the Zion people coming forth. Amen. But how many know there's going to be some enemies we're going to fight yet that we've never fought? I remember one night in Tulsa, I had a warfare with a spirit or prince over that city right about 2 o'clock in the morning. I tell you, there's some strong spirits over that city, brother, and every city. But how many know we better learn some warfare and learn it good? We don't have too much experience. Amen? But David took the stronghold here, and he conquered Zion, praise the Lord. Jebusites. I won't go into about the Jebusites because there's a lot there we could go into. Hallelujah. So there's a lot concerning. Now, look in 2 Samuel 3. Let me give you another scripture here. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel 3. How many know the new order was betrayed? How many has ever felt betrayed or been betrayed? I think all of us have. 2 Samuel 3. Now, there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. It was a process. It took time. How many know there's a warfare right here? Between the flesh and the spirit. And they're antagonistic one to another. There is a warfare taking place right now in you and in
me.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation 18. How many believe Babylon's going to fall? You can look at Babylon many ways. I believe it's worldwide. I believe America, a lot of Babylon in America and in the church. But I believe it's worldwide as well. How many of the two witnesses die in the great city? What's the great city? It's Babylon. It's worldwide, not just one locale like people teach. Chapter 18, notice in verse 2, and he cried mightily to this angel that came down with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the greatest fallen, is fallen and has become the habitation of demons or devils and the hole of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean, come on, and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, he says. Now look at verse 4. And I heard a voice, another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. If God is speaking to your heart to come out of the old order, you better obey.
Yeah.
Amen? Whatever it is. Whatever it is. And if you've come out of the old order, you've got, and I've got to get the old order out of us.
Yeah.
I mean, old Moses was weaned by his natural mother, but it took years for him to get Egypt out of him. You know, Israel wanted to always go back to Egypt. You know why? Because it was in their heart. Whatever's in your heart, that's what you're going to do. Isn't that right? Whatever's in your heart, that's what you're going to do. I mean, no, we don't even know our hearts at times, but God does. Amen? One other scripture. Look in chapter 18. Look at verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles, prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. In verse 24, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and all that was slain upon the earth. So God wants to deliver us from the old order. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what's on the name of the door. If it's old order, you need to seek God. Get God's mind for your life in 1993. I believe if God's people would hear His voice, many churches would empty out overnight. And they would move into places where God would place them and put them. Amen? People want entertainment. They want to flock after the big names. But it's time to flock after Jesus. I mean, oh, He's the big name. Hallelujah. He is the one that we must meet around. We must gather around Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for your precious people here tonight, the sheep of your pasture. We ask enlightenment be granted and given to those here tonight, Lord. There are people here tonight that have to make decisions for you, Lord. And they're in situations and in problems that only you can render and heal and deliver and set them free, and only you can speak concerning the situations where they are. And God, I pray those that are living in death and in the old order, I pray you'll bring them out. God, I pray that you'll bring take the old order out of us in those areas that we're submissive, Lord, to things that are death and things that are not of the Spirit. Father, I pray you'll bring deliverance to our temples. You'll bring life to our temples. You'll bring health and strength to our temples. But God, lead us by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Lead us by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Lord, raise up this new order. Raise up your sons, your overcomers, in this hour. Hallelujah. Cause that man-child to grow and develop and mature in this hour, we pray. Forgive us, Lord God, of our failings and our shortcomings. Forgive us when we pointed our finger at other people. Lord, help us to hate the system, but to love the people.
God, help us never to hate the people of God, but to love the people of God, regardless of who they are and where they are. We ask that you bring them out. Shake them, Lord. Shake the ministry. Shake the people. Bring them out of their lethargy and their coldness and their deadness, Lord. Lord, a reminder of the church in Sardis. They had a name that they lived, but you said they were dead. Father, take the deadness out. Put the life into us in this hour. Hallelujah. Cause the light to shine. Cause the lamp to burn bright. Cause us to see ourselves as you see us, Lord. But more than that, help us to see you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Judge your hearts tonight. Judge your heart with the old order. If the old order is in you tonight, areas that God's showing you, ask Him to take it out of you. Ask Him to deliver you and ask Him to set you free in these areas where you're weak tonight, where I'm weak tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, take out that old order, Lord. Take out the old ways, God. Take out that which does not agree with the new, Lord. Oh, God, rip it out and take it out, Lord Jesus. That which will not glorify the Lord. That which will not testify the Lord. That which would glorify man and exalt man and programs, Lord, and buildings. God, take that out of us, Lord. Rip it out of us, Father. God, take entertainment out of us, Lord. Take the darkness out, Lord, and cause the light to come. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears. God, direct our footsteps in the path of righteousness for your name's sake, I ask, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you tonight, Lord Jesus. Praise you tonight, Lord Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Praise you, my God. Praise you, my God. Praise you, my God. Praise you, my God. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for the people in the order. Bring them out, Lord. Let them hear your voice saying, come out of her, my people. God calls the people to hear the voice of God. Wake them up, Lord. Speak to your people, Lord Jesus. Speak to your people, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glenn, the Lord said, you've been persecuted and you've been put down and you've been hurt. But God said, I have a great reward for you, my son, because of your love and your obedience to me. And the Lord said, I have stood with thee, and I shall stand with you in this hour. And I shall undergird thee and give you strength, inner strength and physical strength, saith the Lord. And I shall meet every need, saith the Lord, and your eyes shall be open, and thou shalt behold a new thing in the Lord. For I am with thee this night to strengthen and to undergird you. So fear not and fret not, my son, of that which has come against thee. For there are many have come against you. But I say there are many more for you than there are against you. So rejoice and lift up your heart and your voice and know that I shall establish your going out and your coming in. And I shall take you through the darkness into the light. And thou shalt be blessed. For I, the Lord, have anointed your walk life. Yea, I put butter and honey in front of you. I put a strong word in you, and I've anointed you with my spirit, saith the Lord. So fret not and know that God is with you, and I put the belt and the girdle of truth upon you, and no man shall take that truth from thee. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Sir, let me pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord has seen your heartaches and the Lord has seen your trouble, and He does surround you with His glory and His presence and His anointing. Yea, the Lord has given you a hearing ear for this hour, and the Lord shall cause you to hear His voice loud and clear. For in the days ahead, the Lord shall speak intimate things and details to your heart. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is reaching out to you, and the Lord does draw and woo thee unto Himself. And the Lord has His hand placed upon thee. The Lord shall cut away many things. And the Lord shall give you a charge.
And that charge shall be of the Holy Spirit. And yea, the Lord has a mate picked out down the road for thee. But the Lord says, fret not and worry not of that at this time. But down the road, God said, I have him already and picked out. And the Lord said, stay pure and stay holy before him, for my hand is upon thee. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, good. Good. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord has seen your heart and the rejoicing. The Lord has seen the turmoil and the situation, the trials and the tribulation that's come upon you. And God shall cut things away, saith the Lord, in this hour. He'll make the pathway smooth, and it shall be perfect, because the perfect one to shine upon thee and in your heart in this hour. So the Lord wants to encourage you tonight and tell you that He loves you, and that love is drawing and developing within you. And as you grow in this love, you'll reach out to others. And as you reach out, many shall be blessed and shall be encouraged and strengthened because of your obedience, saith the Lord. Come on, praise Him tonight. Praise Him tonight. Praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. The arm of the Lord is strong, my brother, in your behalf. And yea, the arm of the Lord does undergird and strengthen you tonight. And the Lord does open up a pathway for thee. He does show you the way, and He does lead by His Spirit. So fret not and worry not, for God has the pathway appointed and chosen out and picked out for you. And all you have to do is walk on it, and the blessings of God shall be thine. And yea, thou shalt not stumble, and thou shalt not fall, for the Lord shall undergird. And because your eye is single upon the Lord, you shall make it to the end, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you again tonight for this place. Thank you for Glenn and Irma. Father God, we cut off the tongues of the enemy that would come against this people and this place. God, I bless Glenn and Irma. I bless Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I bless the ministries, Brother and Sister Tromlin, Bill and Peggy and Dr. Null and Lord, the Canadas and Speed and Jack and others that are coming. We bless them, Lord. We thank you for all the ministries that are represented here too, Lord. Brother Hood from Alabama and others that I don't even know, Lord. I just thank you for all of them, Lord. And we ask your blessing upon them. Lord, right now, just pray for Jack. Let's pray for Jack Harris right now. Lord, I pray for Jack in Jesus' name. I ask you to reach out to my brother. Minister life to him tonight. Lord, strengthen Jack, Lord. Meet every need, Lord, in his life. I ask you to overshadow his heart tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Use him mightily, Lord, we pray. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com/online.com.
There are hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.